This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ياسين والقرآن الحكيم. إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters and welcome to the fourth lesson now of Surah Yasin, the study of Surah Yasin. Last week, unfortunately, the recording was corrupted, subhanAllah, so we are going to summarize what we started discussing last week, inshallah, and then move on to the next few verses. Last week we covered verse number 5. Where Allah Jalla wa'ala says, Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim. We said that there was a question that was created in the mind of the listener when Allah said, before this, Innaka lamil mursaleen, and truly you are from those that have been sent. The question was, who has sent this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That question is answered in this verse by saying, Tanzeel, coming down. What he sent with is coming down from Al-Aziz Al-Rahim, the ultimate authority and the incredibly compassionate one, i.e. it is Allah who has sent him. The next verse after this, لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا, is answering another question, which is, what is the purpose of this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is his role and function? It is لِتُنْذِرَ, in order for you to warn a people, meaning the people of Makkah, and as we know, all of mankind, yeah, ultimately all of mankind as well. So this verse, it is talking about the origin of the Qur'an. Where did it come down from? Where did it come from rather? It came not from other people, from the East, the Byzantine Empire in the East, or the Persian Empire in the West, but rather it came from the skies. It came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said about the word tanzeel, it has two nuances. The first nuance is, it doesn't just mean to come down, it means to... And remember what it means? Not just to come down, but it meant something else. To come down gradually. Yes, to come down gradually. And as we know that the Qur'an was revealed to the Prophet over the period of 23 years. It didn't come down all in one go. And that was one of the unique things about the Qur'an as compared to previous scriptures. Because some of the scholars, they said that the Injil and the Torah and the Suhuf of Ibrahim and so on and so forth came down all in one go to the Prophets. However, to our Prophet and his nation, it came down piecemeal, slowly over the course of 23 years. And there was a very there was wisdom behind that. We said one of the wisdoms behind that was explained to us by our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she said in an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim that the first thing that was revealed in the Quran was what? What did she say was the first thing revealed? She used a term to describe a part of the Quran. And you remember what that was? It begins with the letter Mim, Mu, Al-Mufassal, Al-Mufassal. And Ibn Hajar said that refers to Surah Qaf until the end of the Qur'an. And she said the only thing that spoke about was paradise and hellfire, Jannah and Jahannam. That's the only subject matter of that part of the Qur'an. That was the first thing that came down. Then she said when the hearts of the believers became firm on Islam, meaning that became well-grounded, their level of conviction increased, and so on and so forth, then came halal and haram, the do's and the don'ts. And then she said, had the people been told do not drink alcohol. In the beginning, they would have said, we will never abandon khamr. If they were told, do not fornicate, do not engage in zina, in the beginning, they would have said, we will never give up zina. This was the nature of those people. This was their, this was part of their culture, that they were, you know, many of them were womanizers, and they were alcoholics as well. Yeah, so Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she's teaching us a wisdom that the Quran came down in pieces, in piecemeal, and one of the wisdoms behind that was to nurture and educate the Muslim community, to make them firm on Islam. And in that was a lesson for us in bringing up our children. And the lesson was, if we want our children to be great Muslims that pray, that fast, that read Quran, and so on and so forth, they are upstanding Muslims, then we need to make their hearts attached to the hereafter. If our children really and truly are brought up to believe that there is something on hellfire, and it is real, and people will be punished for disobeying Allah, and at the same time there is a reward called paradise, and it is the best thing that they could possibly imagine, and they firmly believe that, and they're always thinking about that, it's in their minds, then when it comes to practicing Islam, it will be a lot easier for them. It will come more naturally, and there won't be much, as much resistance as there would be otherwise. So this is a tip for in parenting as well. لِتُنْذِرَ تَنْزِيلًا. So this was one nuance, coming down gradually. The other one was that it's تَنْزِيلًا and not تَنْزِيلُ. There is the other recitals that are with تَنْزِيلُ, with the Dhamma, but this one is تَنْزِيلًا with the Fatha. And as Abu Sa'ud in his tafsir, he said that what that shows us is there is madh, there is, if you like, an exclamation mark after the word تَنْزِيل, to show that this is something mighty, something great. You need to, respect the fact that this came from the heavens and not from anywhere else. And then the names. The two names Allah chose to describe Himself here was number one, Al-Aziz. And number two, Al-Rahim. And they are two very different names. The first name, Al-Aziz, what did we say was the main meanings from the word Al-Aziz? It came from the root of Izzah. What are the kind of meanings that come across from this word? Was it?
Overpowering,
very good. Al-Qahr is one of the meanings of the word. What else was there?
Authority,
ultimate authority and respect, very good. And of power. Yeah, of power. So when you hear Al-Aziz, you think of Allah in that He is the ultimate power, He's overpowering, and I'm just afraid that this is going to fall on someone. Talking about so much power, and then subhanAllah, this is going to fall on someone. Yeah, so when you hear that this is coming from Allah, the all-powerful, the most, the one with the ultimate authority, overpowering, it sends a message of fear. That a person, when he hears that this came from this Allah, who is such and such, he feels scared. And At-Tabari said in explaining Al-Aziz here, he said it means that Allah will punish those that disbelieve and reject the message of the Prophet ﷺ. He will punish them. He is Al-Aziz. But right next to that came the second name, which is Ar-Rahim. And what kind of meanings is expressed in the word Ar-Rahim? What did we say last time? Ar-Rahim, what does it mean? Usually translates as what? The All-Merciful, right? But we said it's more beautiful than that. It has the meaning of what? What else did we say? Okay, it's tied to the idea of the womb. Yeah, because it comes from the word rahma, and the word for womb in Arabic is rahim. The word for womb is rahim. So the Arabs, they tied the idea of mercy and love to that of the womb of the mother. Okay, which shows us that the word ar-rahim, Allah is ar-rahim, means more than Allah is the most merciful. It has the meaning of love and the meaning of care and compassion. And that is what Al-Raghib Al-Asfahani, he wrote he's one of the most famous dictionaries of the Qur'an, Qur'anic dictionaries. He said that Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, they come from Rahma, which ultimately comes from Rahim, and it has the meaning of تَقْتَدِ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْمَرْحُومِ, that someone shows compassion to the object of mercy. Yeah, there's someone who shows compassion to the object of mercy. So he's talking about Allah's loving nature towards His creation. So when you put those both those names together, we find that they are contrasting. The first name is expressing Allah's power, might and punishment for those that disbelieve. And the second name is expressing His love, care and compassion. So he said, if you put both those names together, what you find is that it's expressing the perfection of Allah. Because what we know is that people that have a lot of power, they don't have a lot of mercy. You know, kings and leaders of the world, when they become very powerful, they have no mercy for others. In fact, they do dhulm, they oppress people, right? Allah Jalla wa'ala, though He has the ultimate power, that doesn't detract from the fact that He's Ar-Rahim as well. And conversely, Allah is Ar-Rahim. And sometimes a person shows mercy to others out of weakness. Yeah, someone like a country, for example, who is invaded by another, they could take revenge, but instead they say, it's okay, we're not going to do anything about it. Someone would say, yeah, maybe they're saying that because they don't have the power to take revenge. And that's why they're showing mercy. Allah Jalla wa'ala said He is Al-Aziz and Al-Rahim. To show that His mercy is not astaghfirullah because of a lack of power. Yeah. So both of those names, they point towards the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So altogether, the verse therefore is teaching us something about the Qur'an. Tanzila, it came down from Al-Aziz. So how would you... With this in mind, how would you approach the Quran when you realize now that you know what, it came from Al-Aziz, and Al-Aziz is the Almighty, the All Powerful, the one who could punish me if I rejected what He asked me to believe in. How does that change your approach towards the Quran? Like, how would it make you feel when you read the Quran now? Fearful. Okay. So when you're reading the Quran, you realize where it came from. It makes you more fearful. Anything else? So that? Just focusing on Al-Aziz first. The fact that Allah is coming from Al-Aziz. How would it change the way you read the Quran now that you know it's coming from the ultimate authority, the ultimate overpowering one? It would make you take the Quran more seriously. That's what it would do. It would make you pay more attention to what Allah is saying. It would make you scared of belittling what the Quran says, or to think little of it, or to make it insignificant, or to trivialize what it is saying. It would make you rather approach it with more seriousness and concern and focus. And when you hear that it is coming from Ar-Rahim, that should also show you something different, that whatever the Quran is teaching us, it is coming from the one who loves us. Therefore, whatever it is asking us to do, it is only asking us to do for our own benefit, because it is coming from Ar-Rahim. And Allah is telling us that He is the most merciful, caring and compassionate. But this is how this verse should affect our relationship with the Quran. It should really change our relationship with the Quran. You know, subhanAllah, the other day we had the good fortune of meeting one of the senior scholars in the world of Quranic studies. His name is Sheikh Abdullah Al-Shanqiti. His father, Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti, he's the famous author of a book of tafsir called Adwal Bayan. Has anyone heard this book before? This is one of the very famous books of tafsir, written by his own father. Now he's 70 years of age now. We met him and we spent a few hours with him in his company. And he spoke to us about the Quran. And subhanAllah, the way he spoke about the Quran, wallahi, it was like a child given a new toy. He was like, and have you heard this? What Allah says in the Quran. And it's so amazing how Allah said this and then He said this. And then Allah says this here. He says, this is a treasure. The more you look, the more you find. And this is a 70-year-old man. Wallahi al-Azim, it's like it was a child with a new toy. He was so excited about the Quran and what it had to offer. He was giving us so many gems. So many gems. So he said, I was thinking to myself, this man, he's been raised in a house that has dedicated its life to the Quran. He's seen his father teaching Quran and writing about Quran and explaining Quran his whole life. And then he's gone on to become a scholar of Quran. He teaches in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. For many years now, he has been teaching in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, doing tafsir of Quran. He's become famous for it. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, you know, one of the things that, you know, you get by studying Quran and dedicating your life to studying it is you become a very happy person. You become a person who feels joy in his heart. This is one of the, you know, side effects, if you like, of studying Quran. that a person, wallahi, he finds happiness in his soul. And you know the Prophet, he said that in a hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah, that Allah has a special group of people. For Allah, they are a special group of people. And his companions, they said to him, who are those people? Because they wanted to be those people. He said, Ahlullah, the special people of Allah, are the people of the Qur'an. They are his special people, and وَخَاصَّتُهُ, those elite people. Yeah, those elite people. We ask Allah to make us people of the Qur'an, inshaAllah. Okay, so we mentioned a number of other things, but because of time, I'm going to have to skip those. The video has been uploaded onto Facebook, inshaAllah. If somebody wants to go into more details, they can do. The next verse. Allah Jalla then says, لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. This verse is going to speak about the role of the Prophet ﷺ. Now you have to appreciate that this came down in what year? We said it came down in year number 10. 10 years after the Prophet ﷺ has been given his prophecy, he's living in Makkah, and Ibn Ashur said it came down around this time. Tayyib. So he's been doing da'wah to these people for 10 years. 3 years were to those closest to him privately, and then after the third year he went public with his message. So after 10 years Surah Yasin is coming, and he's telling us the role of the Prophet ﷺ now is what? لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا. In order for you to warn a people. Yeah, the lam in لِتُنْذِر is lam of ta'lil. It is the lam of in order to. Why have you been given this Quran? In order to do this. What is it? To warn a people. مَا أُنْذِرُ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. A people whose forefathers were not warned. فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. So they became heedless. They became heedless people. There are two interpretations to this verse. The first interpretation is that you were sent to warn these people because their forefathers were not warned. The forefathers of the Arabs, they had no prophets that came to them. Who was the last prophet that came to the Arabs? Ismail alayhi salam. Yeah, so this is going back many, many years. Yeah, so between that time and the Prophet ﷺ, there's many generations have passed of Arabs, and no prophet has been sent to them. The first interpretation, therefore, is you need to warn them because no one has come to them to warn them. Yeah, and as a result, they have become heedless people. The second interpretation is لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنْذِرُ آبَاؤُهُمْ. You need to warn these people just like their forefathers were warned. It is the opposite almost. You need to warn them just like their forefathers warned. Like when Ismail came to them and he gave them da'wah, and the message he gave, that was given to them before. He came and he warned them. You need to do the same thing now. Because that was happened to their forefathers, and you need to do it for them now. However, even though both opinions are mentioned by Tabari, Ibn Uthaymeen, he said that the first interpretation seems to be more correct. Why? Because Allah said in Surah Sajda, that you have been sent to these people who have not had a prophet come to them before you. I.e., it's very clear there that Allah Jalla is saying that you need to warn them because no prophet has come before you to them. Yeah, and this makes more sense here to say this, and it's confirmed in this verse as well. So what happened to them because their forefathers were not warned? فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They became غَافِلُونَ. The word غَافِل, it doesn't just mean heedless. It means neglectful as well. The مُغَفَّل, the Arabs say, is a simpleton. The gullible person, the one you can trick easily, take advantage of. That's the مُغَفَّل person. And the reason I say that you need to appreciate that it's not just heedless is because somebody may hear that, look, the Prophet is told to warn them because they were not warned before, so they became heedless of Allah. So it means like they didn't know any better, you know. No one came and told them. So it's kind of like someone, you know, he parks in the wrong place. He gets a ticket. And then he says to the ticket inspector, there's no sign there to tell me that, you know, I'm not allowed to park here. Why are you giving me a ticket for? I don't deserve to be given a ticket. No one has told me that this is the wrong place to park. However, the word ghafil doesn't mean this. It means that they are being condemned for being neglectful of not worshipping Allah. Yeah? And the fact that no one has come to warn them does not excuse them
of becoming polytheists. Do you know that before the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, there were some people who the scholars of Seerah call them Hunafa. Have you heard this before? Hunafa. Anyone know the name of a Hanif? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, yep. Waraqa bin Nawfal, yep. Anyone else? Zayd ibn Amr. Yeah, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail. He was another Hanif. What does that mean? It means that they refused to worship idols and instead wanted to worship Allah alone. These are the same people who is being discussed in this verse, that no warner came to them. But despite no warner coming to them, they didn't become idol worshippers, did they? Yeah. What does that mean? It means that Allah has given every human being a fitrah, this natural dispensation, and that in and of itself is a form of guidance. It will stop a person from worshipping other than Allah. And it will always be pushing the person to want to worship Allah. They may not know how to, they may not know the details, but that's because the Prophet hasn't come to them. So these Arabs, they decided to worship idols. The fact that no warner came to them does not excuse them. And that is how we understand why even the parents of the Prophet ﷺ, he himself said, I am the hellfire. How? How is that the case? Because Allah Jalla wa'ala has already given inside every human being the ability to distinguish between truth and false in a general sense. And to stop a person doing something as foolish as worshipping idols. So if a person did that, then they have committed a crime. Yeah, despite not having a prophet come to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yeah, Allah Jalla knows best. So this is the first interpretation. And this is probably the strongest, that the Prophet is being told to warn them because their forefathers were not warned, so they became ghafilun. Now the interesting link between this verse and the previous one is as follows. The previous one told us the Quran came from Al-Aziz. And one of the meanings was the ultimate authority. This one is about the Prophet ﷺ warning his people. There's a link between authority and warning. Yeah, there's a link. When do people take a warning seriously? If a young boy came into this room right now and said, brothers, someone's stealing your shoes outside. Yeah. Those of us that wore chaplis, they say, khalas, no problem. Those that wore something expensive, they will start to think, this young chap here, should I take him seriously or not? The young boy, he's just making up stuff. But if, for example, the imam of the masjid came in here, he said, brothers, someone's stealing your shoes outside, khalas, everyone will jump up and see what's going on. Right? So why is that? The reason is because the imam has authority, isn't it? The boy doesn't have authority. You know, I was thinking as well, this is natural. Someone, for example, he's obese, طيب, and he sees his friend who's also obese. He says, Giza, you need to lose weight. Start eating healthy, cut down on the doners, and start exercising. He says, you're telling me to lose weight. Hey, look in the mirror. Yeah, I can't take your advice seriously, even though the advice is true. He can't take it seriously because of where it's coming from. He's got no authority. I mean, look at you, right? So Allah Jalla, before telling us that the role of the Prophet is to warn these people, He first told us that He has been given authority because the Quran came down from Al-Aziz. He has the mandate to go and warn people now. لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنْذِرَ أَبَاهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ Yeah, so this is the link between the previous verse and this verse. There's some lessons here. You can take them away with you, inshallah, to reflect over. What do we learn from this verse? We learn three things. The first thing we learn is that the side effect of not having Quran in your life is that you become a mughaffal, or a mughaffil, a person who is heedless. Allah said that those people, they never had a warner come to them for so many years, فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ So they became heedless people. And you know what, subhanAllah, isn't this the state of the world that we live in today? People are heedless about the purpose of their life. Isn't that true? Most people, if you ask them, what is the purpose behind life? Why have we been created? Most people will be stuck to give you an answer. And those that do, most probably they say in jest, is to enjoy ourselves, to live a good life and so on and so forth. What does that mean? It means everyone is ghafil about their purpose in life. So it's like exactly the same times as in the time of the Prophet. فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ people are غَافِلُونَ. So what do those people need? They need a warning. Just like the Prophet was told to give them a warning. But the lesson rather here is that for us as Muslims, the further we are from the Qur'an, the more heedless we become. And there's a proof of this in the Qur'an as well. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah Jalla wa said, I think it's verse number 16, وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ. What's the next verse? فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Yeah, Allah says, and they shouldn't become like those that were given the scripture, meaning the Jews and the Christians. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ. And then a long time passed from them receiving the revelation and neglecting it. A long time passed. No revelation. What happened to them? فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. Hard like stone. Yeah. Which is a message to us that if you don't read the Qur'an regularly, study it, take it seriously, you will become a ghafil. And when you become a ghafil, your heart will become hard like stone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from that ever happening to us. And the more you read Qur'an, and the closer you are to it, the more softer, tender your heart becomes. Yeah. The second lesson we learn is we should be getting our own healthy dose of warning. The role of warning, you know, Ibn Ashur, he said, Indhar literally means to strike fear into the heart of the person. That you feel scared. About what? About Allah's anger, Allah's punishment, the punishment of the grave, all of these things. You need to hear about these things regularly. Just listen to lectures and talks about from people that are describing to you what is Jahannam. What are the punishments that await people who disbelieve and who disobey? Because those types of talks and lectures, they keep you alive. They keep your heart alive. They keep you in check. And this, unfortunately, in our times is on the decrease. You don't find many people talking about hell. Why? Because they say it's politically, what's the term? Politically incorrect. Yeah, politically incorrect to talk about hellfire and these kind of things. Allah Jalla wa said one of the roles of the Prophet is to warn people. One of the roles of the Prophet is to warn people. About what? Huh? About the hellfire? Yeah, about the hellfire. So this is one of the lessons. The other lesson we learn is that if the role of the Prophet is to warn people, then by extension, our role towards others is also to be warners. Yeah, is also to be warners. And that, my brothers and sisters, you have to ask yourself, Wallahi, when is the last time you ever warned another person about anything? When is the last time you ever warned a non-Muslim? Maybe you are discussing Islam with him, you have told him about the truth of Islam, about the Quran, you've shown him proofs and so on and so forth, and he's refused or she's refused. Have you gone to the next step of warning them and saying, listen, if you don't listen, then you know what? There's serious consequences. Yeah. I remember one of my teachers, he said he went to get his key cut from this shop, and the guy was, it's a white guy, non-Muslim, and he started talking to him about Islam. And he said, oh, I don't want to become Muslim. You guys have to do so many things. Yeah. He said, well, you know, what if it's the truth? He said, well, I'll find out after I die. He said, okay, but when you die, it's going to be too late. If you die and you find out it's the truth, you go to the hellfire. And you know, the way he said it, my teacher, he didn't say it out of bitterness, frustration, or as an insult. You know, like some people say, go to the hellfire. Not like that. He said it out of compassion, like, you're going to go to the hellfire. Do you realize what that means? And he said that the non-Muslim, he looked at him, he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say. He was like confused. He was like, this person is sincere. He's actually looking out for me. He took it seriously. Yeah. So never underestimate the power of warning people. It has its time and its place, and the language needs to be wise, but never shy away from giving warning to people. You will find, and do this as a test yourself, those people who accepted Islam or reverted, ask them, what is it that brought you to Islam? You know, Yvonne Ridley, you know Yvonne Ridley, right? She her story about becoming Muslim is interesting. She said that she was going back and forth after she came back from Afghanistan and seeing the Taliban about becoming Muslim. And then she said what happened is someone phoned her and they said to her, listen, if you don't accept Islam, you know you're going to go to the hellfire. That's it. And she said, you know, I realize I need to become Muslim. And she became Muslim. Yeah, so let us take heed of the lessons here and become like warners, just like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakumullahu khairan.